You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned for Between Two Worlds.
Hello everyone, this is your favorite neighborhood psychic medium, Derek White Sky Cloud, and you're listening to Between Two Worlds. That's what the show is called, Between Two Worlds. Today we're going to be doing call-ins. I work as a psychic medium and paranormal investigator, and if anybody out there wants to get a reading, you're more than welcome to call in. The toll-free numbers are 877-876-5227. Now, those who are in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. Anyone who actually is on toll-free for Canadians, all the Canadians out there are toll-free. Good. For free, for once. 888-815-9756. It's 888-815-9756. And anyone, the international callers, are 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. I'm trying to get into my chat room for some reason. It won't open up, so I guess I'll tell everybody to call in instead. It's the best thing to do for you anyways. I know there's a lot of people that are shy out there. We are shy in our own similar way, but sometimes we need to speak up for ourselves. It doesn't hurt. I also like to acknowledge our affiliates that are carrying me or actually have had me on their show as well, and I'd like to welcome them, and that's Ghost Radio in the UK, and that are carrying us, and also APSR, Paranormal Talk Radio. Jimmy is not carrying me over, but what's happening is that Dr. Jimmy and Heather, they actually have me come on their show once a month here for an interview. So actually, I've always liked to give them a good favor, actually advertising them on my show. So, and I'm going to get Jimmy on here one of these days. We also like to acknowledge Go Has Begun. I hope that's the way they spell it. Go Has Begun, begin. They are from the Netherlands, and they also have, they're kind of syndicated under us, or they're carrying us over from their side of the world, as well as Leah Ramsey's Underworld. And also, some of you out there may not realize, but we actually have a chat room also, an online paranormal community chat room. It's called I Am Haunted. If any of you actually want to go onto my webpage on the bbsradio.com, and it says Between Two Worlds, go on that dash called Between Two Worlds, and you will see the affiliate banners, and on there it says I Am Haunted. Now, it's actually quite the chat room. Everybody who's actually has interest or knowledge, want to share their stories, or also who want to share, whatever they want to talk about. It's an online paranormal community programs chat room, so it's actually not bad. And you can always click on that banner and go on there and take a look at it. Also, we do have a feedback in our room, and anybody who's actually been listening to the show, I'd love to have you write to me and tell me what you think of the show itself and all the information I've been sharing with you this past year. It is the anniversary. It's been 1 year since I've been on BBS Radio, and I wish I had a lot of had clapping hands in the background, but I've been on radio with BBS Radio for over a year now, and to me it's a great accomplishment because for being on Paranormal Talk or being on a BBS internet radio program beyond for a year, this is actually, to me, it's an accomplishment for everyone, I'm sure, as well. Some of you actually know me locally. I just recently lost my mother. She passed away May the 10th, 2007. I was right by her side when she passed away. She died in Alberta, in the hospital, the Disbury Hospital in Alberta. And I was by her side. I was right with her to her last breath. And I would like to dedicate this show to my mom. If I break down once in a while and start feeling teary-eyed, you know very well it still hasn't been time. I haven't had the time to really grieve, and some people call it grieving. But, you know, an interesting part is my mom had a phenomenal way of things. She knew how to get to you, you know. She could say things and you could break down and cry. Not insultingly, but she's got, my mother had a really kind heart. She helped everyone out, and, you know, whoever needed help, she was right by their side. When I was a little kid growing up, my mom, she was a foster parent for a while with kids that are in care, need to be taken care of in care. My mom and dad were married to each other for 52 years. 52 years. And it was going to be their anniversary, the 16th of July of this year. My mom just turned would have been turning 75 July 15th. And, you know, when you work in this field as a medium, it's interesting that, you know, you can give people readings and talk about a family loved one that's never this passed over, and you know very well yourself that you're not feeling as much of the emotion when that person has lost a mother, a father, or a sibling, or a loved one. And yet, when it comes to yourself, and I'll tell you right now, I don't care what anybody says out there, when you're a medium, it still gets to you. It still carries on inside of you. You become quite emotional. And sometimes some people can handle it. And myself, I understood it so well, I just breathed right through it. I cried right through with my mom. I'm not shy about it. Tears are good for you. It does help heal. My son was with me. He came down, and bless his heart, he was there for his grandma, and as long as he could be there. I know very well he had a good excuse. He just said he had to go help someone, but I know very well my son could not handle it. He didn't want to see his grandma pass in front of him. My sister was by her side. My cousin Sharon is by her side. And my father was right with my mom all the way to the end. My father was also has dementia, but he knows full well that my mother had passed, and he had a hard time dealing with that. He is actually in a wheelchair as well. His legs start giving up beneath him. He had dealt with diabetes, and so I'm not sure how long my father's got, but he's a tough old bird. My father is tough. I mean, he's been doing the business. He's been a lumberjack. He has always done heavy duty stuff. This guy has big hands. His hands are bigger than mine, twice the size. This guy's got huge ham hocks. Anyways, but my mom, for talking about my mom right now, is that when she was quite young, my grandfather, her dad, used to call her freak. And she was not ugly. He called her freak because she was 5'4", 5'5". And she used to play baseball, and one time, I guess, when she was planting the ball with the bat, it bounced off the bat, and the ball apparently bounced off her head. And then she used to be the bat catcher, and I guess one time one of the batters that stood in front of her let the bat go, and when that person struck the bat ball, the bat went across between my mother's eyes, and she was wearing glasses, and my grandfather used to watch the baseball game all the time, so he just basically called her connector because he always nailed her between the eyes. It was funny. And my mom never got any scars, but she felt it. But she's tough. She used to be a biker. Yeah, she had her own hog when she was quite young. She never wore the helmets like we used to wear. Her helmet looks like the pilot's helmet, you know, in an airline that was back in the 1920s. Leather jacket look, and she was pretty cool. My mom was always fair with you. We used to go hunting, her and I. But you know, a funny thing, you know, people used to say, well, you know, your father used to go hunting with his son. My dad never did go hunting with me. We had 22s. Rifles. My mom used to say, well, we lived on the farm, to let you all know, by the way, we weren't hunting for people, we were hunting actually for gophers. We had a farm, I was living on a farm, we had a lot of gophers that did a lot of major damage, and I'm sure some of you people there that don't like animals being shot. But, you know, we didn't want to poison them and poison animals, so we did the fair way by taking all the cows off the field and went out hunting. My mother can actually, she's like an Annie Oakley. I've seen her dead shot. She'll knock a gopher and flip that sucker 365 degrees right upside down, inside out, one shot, clean through. And the gopher would never suffer because she had mushroom bullets, so, you know, she was excellent at it. 500 yards, boom, she'd have that sucker. And, you know, here's me learning how to eat. Well, not learning how, but I go right hunting with my mom, and she was always a crack shot. But she used to go, and my mom and mom used to hunt because she hunted when she was a little girl. My grandfather used to go hunting. He was hunting rabbits, and he had a rabbit gun. And some of you out there may not know what a rabbit gun is. Actually, it's a short version. It's about a 2.5 foot long rifle, and they call it a rabbit gun. It's actually a 22. And my grandfather was hunting rabbits. And one time he got caught between a black bear and a baby bear. And the mother was heading to my grandfather, and my grandfather had to make an alternative idea. Like, well, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down. So he just stuck the rifle straight out with one arm. And as she got no more than a foot away, he plugged the bullet between her eyes. And my grandfather said it was her or me. I mean, my grandfather... He didn't know, like, he just lived, that's how my family lived. They lived in the bush as well. And, I mean, that's because my Aboriginal background, they were tough. My grandfather was tough. Again, he died younger than my mom. My mom passed around 75. My grandfather passed, I think it was 64, no, 70, 72, 73 or something like that. And he died of stomach cancer. Chewing too much chaw. Anyways, why I talk about this, because, you know, these are the fond memories about my family and some things you don't forget. And I find it really nice to talk about with my mom and dad, or about my mom and my father. And we had a not very large memorial, but in a traditional way, we have our ways of making contact with loved ones or having to grieve, and I'm still breaking through this, and I'm sure a lot of you out there who have actually lost loved ones are trying to figure things out. Now, some people will used to ask questions like, they'll say, well, how did you ever know that your mom was going to pass away? Were you warned ahead of time? Yeah, I was. My mother talked about my brother, my little brother passed away when he was 6 months old, and my mother never talked about my little brother for a lot of years until this last month. And suddenly she said that she saw Garnet, my brother's name is Garnet, and she saw him come to her in a dream every night for a week. And my mom never knew. She just loved to look at him, and she was talking to him, and she asked him why he was there, and he said, just because I love you, Mom, and I'm just here for you if you need me. And my mom would tell me about this, and then she said that her mom and dad came to see her, and they were talking to her, and they were smiling and happy to see her. And my mom never knew what was going on. She suspected it, but she wasn't sure. But my mom called me one day, I would say about a month before her passing. Suddenly she said, I need you to put a will together for me. I need a lawyer and a will so I can get the things they're all taken care of. And I said, why do you want a will, Mom? You're not bad. You're pretty good. And she goes, no, I want a will now. She says, okay. So I went and got Mom a lawyer and had her will done up. And after everything was signed, 2 weeks after she passed. And the interesting part is that when a person who talks about leaving this world, or even a young one, like I've even had clients who've had sons or boyfriends or husbands or wives would say, mostly the husbands would say, If anything ever happens to me, I want you to marry someone else. I want you to continue on living another life with someone else. I don't want you to just stop living. I want you to continue on and live it, and, you know, fall in love again and be with somebody else. And within the month, the person would pass away. And yet, sometimes these people don't realize what's happening. They're thinking to themselves, well, why am I thinking these things? Or they would just say, you know, is there a reason why I'm doing this? And a lot of people don't always ask that question, why they talk about death before 2 weeks or a month before they pass away. Or they used to say, if anything ever happens to me, you know, do this, do this, do this. Suddenly things would happen. And it is their destiny. It's a time of destiny. It's a time that you didn't have to stay here any longer. Your time was finished here. And a lot of people don't realize that how our life has been planned through a life contract, birth contract, and it's planned wherever way we want it. You know, sometimes it's regimented by a parent. Sometimes parents, I mean, we basically, as parents and the guardian, our guardian, they regiment our life. They basically teach us how to listen to the things that we do. We learn about their habits and their bad habits, and we have good habits. We learn to take on their personalities. And yet, a lot of kids out there today don't want to be their parent. And I'm sure a lot of you kids out there, you're going to say, you know, no, I don't like being like my mom and dad. I don't like being like my dad. My dad was like this. And yet, you turn out like them. Why? Because you grew up with them. You cannot change so suddenly, you know, so quickly, and you think that you've got it pretty well planned. And yet, some of the kids out there today will start cutting their hair, like do mohawk haircuts and piercing their bodies. They will start tattooing themselves. They will start to pierce their bodies and start hanging from the ceiling or hanging from a sky hooks or whatever. And they're trying to figure out themselves. They call it a spiritual journey. And that's basically what our life is about, is actually the spiritual journey. I mean, I've written a book called Spiritual Journey of the White Sky Cloud, and this book is about my journey, what I went through, and also learning from spirit through automatic writing. They've given me messages to share with you out there how and what to understand about death, how to understand about suicide, how to understand about missing your loved ones, how to understand about angels, how to just basically learn about yourself and how to heal through it, how to overcome your boundaries, how to overcome the walls, how to overcome to pass through that door, how to overcome your limits that you think you're limited. And I'm telling you, a lot of you out there think you're limited. I mean, even through relationships, even through marriage, sometimes marriages don't always work. And I've had clients come and see me, my boyfriend or my husband, the relationship's not working, I don't know what to do, I'm pretty well bagged out and sacked, and I don't know what to do, da, da, da. And you're so worried about how the boyfriend or the relationship's going to work. Well, guess what? If it's not going to work, and you know it, and you've already tried to make the attempt to make it work, and nothing's happening any further than what it is, then move on. You're not obligated, you're not regimented to the point where you say, well, I have to follow a specific belief system, a Christian belief system, thinking, okay, well, I'm not going to hurt my father's feelings if I divorce, or I'm going to hurt my mother's feelings if I decide to move on, because some church or some other congregation, some other type of lifestyle is not allowing them to. God gives you one reason in life to enjoy your life to the fullest and make the best of it, the way you want it to see fit, not how the world wants you to follow it to you. You don't have to be someone who is a sheeple. I call sheeple means people who are like sheep. You're not always followers. Yes, we do have a following of certain things, but follow your own path once in a while. Follow your path. And I followed many paths. I've learned about my own path, and I've learned about different people's paths. I was curious to learn about them, but you got one of your own. It's yours. No one's ever told you how you're going to change it. No one's ever given you saying, well, you know, that's not right. If you think it's not right yourself, then you already know. Why would you want someone to say to you, well, it's not right, even though you know it's not right? Make any sense? You know, we learn so many things in life, and nothing is ever a mistake. You know, sometimes people would say, well, you know, maybe I should have been done this, maybe I should have done that, and maybe I should have went to the funeral services, or maybe I should have went to a wedding, or maybe I should have done this, and you start feeling guilty. Why should you feel guilty? You know, sometimes people say, well, I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to my mom, or my dad, or my loved one. And you're thinking that you should feel guilty about it? Let me tell you, folks, there's nothing there to feel guilty about. Your parents, your loved ones, they are there. They already know that you could not make it. I was there. I was by my mom's side. I mean, I was there within the hours. I got there at 10 o'clock in the morning. My mom passed away at 3:05 p.m. I was right by her side to the end, her last breath. I helped her go through the light because my mom said to me she doesn't know what it's like to be there and she needs some help. Even though she wasn't talking to me, she was in almost like a comatose state. She had pneumonia, and then someone said she went through a slow stroke. Now, the reason why my mom went through that, because her best friend, one of her best friends, died 2 weeks before she passed away, suddenly heart attack, and that really bothered my mother because she couldn't make it to the funeral. She wanted to go, but things got in the way where certain people were supposed to have taken her down there and didn't. And yet, my mother felt bad, and it bothered her. Even though I told my mom, don't worry about it, Rose is still around you, you don't have to worry about being at the funeral. My mom wasn't listening. You know, sometimes you get some people you talk to, and you want to reason with them and tell them, like, you know, don't feel bad, and yet they're not hearing you. They're still thinking, you know, I just wanted to be there that last moment. And I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. Well, sometimes we never do. We never get the chance. And, you know, I've talked to so many different... There's one lady I talked to in the hospital. No, I take it back. Not the hospital. It was in the store. I was getting a song for my mom for her funeral, and I got Amazing Grace with bagpipes. My mom loved bagpipes. And I was telling the lady about my mom passing, and she said, were you by your mom's side? I said, yeah, I was right to the end. She goes, you know, my father, he wouldn't let me be by his side. I mean, I was by his side, she said, but my father made me go outside and get him some water. When I came back, he passed. And sometimes you get that. You get a parent that doesn't want to feel embarrassed, thinking that, you know, I don't want my child to suffer, thinking that they should see me pass away horribly. And sometimes people feel that way, horribly. Well, I don't want to see the expression on my face when I leave this world. It may put fear into them or frighten them. My mother and this lady, she said her daughter, her father passed away, and she said, and her words were, the dirty bugger, he got away with it again. Because she said all her life her father got away with things. And she said, not this time. You're not going to get away with it. I'm making sure I'm right by your side so you can never get away with this. So I'll know what you're doing, because he's played tricks on her. And he got her to the end. And that was his last trick. And it was so, in the way you think about it, he was being funny. And we do that to ourselves. We do it to our loved ones. We'll set them up before they leave this world. And my mother set her time, and I know she set her time. She knew it was her time. And a lot of parents and loved ones will always have a time set. I'm sure I would like to have some of you call in and tell me your story if you went through a similar thing that I went through. I want to hear your story if you have a loved one that passed away, or that you've actually felt guilty even now, thinking that you should have mentioned that you should have been by their side, or thinking woulda, coulda, shoulda, can you call in? I would love to hear from you and you tell your story here, because it's something that would benefit others to know the stories, what you've dealt with, your experience, because, you know, it is amazingly interesting when you tell your story. It's not just about readings on this radio. It's all about how you can learn to overcome being caught in a situation where you don't think you can feel again. When my mother passed, I had this, my head felt like it was swelling. It was like it's, I felt a tight band around my head, and I felt so numb. It was, I couldn't figure why. I was trying to figure why I felt so numb. Yes, it's the loss of your mother, but again, after she was gone, all day I could not think. People are asking me questions, even asked me when my mother was born, and I went, I don't know. But I did know. My mother was born in Manson, Manitoba, but at the time, and they asked me when my mother was born for the funeral services, I went blank. Total blank. I had no thoughts. And I kept going into my head all the time. And I was running things in my head all the time, trying to figure myself out, thinking, okay, what do I do next? What do I do next? Where do I go from here? Because you go through, it's like a dead end. You feel like a block. You're like you're stuck. You don't know what to do with it. You feel like you're, you walk into the wall, and the wall hasn't really broken up yet. The door is locked still. It hasn't opened yet. And yet, when I held onto my mom's hand, the most interesting part of it was when I closed my eyes, I suddenly saw my, well, I saw my mom leave, took her last breath, like a, and then I closed my eyes and I saw my brother greet my mother, and they hugged each other. I thought it would be her mom and dad first, but it was my brother, my younger brother, and it was so cool to see him, that he was like, it was a matter of just a boom second, mom's there. He never had a chance to have, you know, a lot of people out there are so afraid of the dark. You know, a lot of people are passing over. When I do a lot of hospice work, and you're in, when you're in that room, and you're by yourself sometimes, they put you in this room as palliative care, some people call PC, not protective custody. Palliative care, and sometimes you don't have loved ones with you. You're by yourself at times, and people used to always have these fears and phobias, fear of dying alone, or fear of being alone. And here they are, fear, and they are alone. But they're also still thinking that when you pass away, you're still alone, and you're not. You are not. Complete, like, I guarantee you, you're not alone. You are going to spirit. There are many, many people come to see you, that come and take you in their arms and hold you and hug you and heal you. It's like you go through, you're finishing off the physical life on this world, and you walk into a spiritual world where you belong, where you're from. You're going back home. Being in this place is where you don't have limitations any longer. You have vast amount of all things you want to think about. If you want to remember everything you've done when you're younger, before you're born, yes, you can do anything and everything in spirit, because you're not limited. There's no rules. But in the physical life, you got rules. Those are man's rules. They're not God's rules. They're man's rules. But in spirit, they can, by thought, they can try to make contact with you. Put the thoughts in your head telling you they're around you. They're around you. Oh, definitely around you. When my dog, I'll give you an example. When my dog passed away, a year later, I was dreaming about something. I don't know what it was. I guess I was dreaming on some sort of thing that didn't make no sense to me. Suddenly, I saw my dog pop out from around the corner and pull me through, like say, come on, follow me, follow me. and I'm following her, and she takes me to a place totally far away from what I was in a dream previously before, which had no bearing on what I'm trying to figure out anyways. So you do have loved ones, even your own animals, that will come through and to try and get your attention, to make you follow them, to say, let's have time, let's have fun, let's have a great time, let's talk, let's do things together. And that's what I like about spirit and people that are in family and loved ones in spirit. They want to come through and they want to let you know and share with you their stories, because sometimes you will wake up in the morning and you think to yourself, how did I know this story, or how did I know this situation, or a certain thing that I've never experienced before? And yet somehow I know the answer to it, or know some sort of story, and yet I'm telling the story and think to myself, now how did I know this story? Because people ask a question, how do you know? I don't know, just know. In the book, what book? You read a book? No. Most people don't always read books. So it's always, maybe someone told me down the road, maybe somebody told me something in the past. No. You just know, because you're in the spirit world, they come to you and they tell you what you need to know, whether it's to prepare you for the future, and that's what it is, it's preparing you for the future, what to do next. Because sometimes if you feel confused and don't know what to do, you feel like, okay, I'm lost inside, I don't know where to put my feet down, where to place myself, where am I going to go from here? And so in spirit, they give you that guidance. I mean, I went straight from the farm, a farm kid, to doing a multitude of all types of jobs on my own, learning a multitask type of job, like all kinds of jobs. I love being a DJ. That's one of the most favorite parts, being a DJ, spinning records, the whole nine yards, and then being on radio. That really did it for me. I mean, I knew where my calling was. And my father told me years ago, when I was 16 years old, and he said to me, son, I will tell you something. You know, he said, when you grow up, I see you have your own radio show, and you don't need any guests. And my father told me that when I was 16. I'm 50 years old, and I've repeated this. I'm sure I've told you folks this before. I'm 50 years old now. I reminded my dad, and I asked him that question, when my mom's funeral took place, and my dad said he forgot, but he remembers. He said, yeah, I did tell you that. I said, Pop, do you realize you told me that when I was 16 on the farm? And he says, yeah, I guess I did make a premonition. He goes, you call it premonition? I said, yeah, you did. He called it a prediction. He goes, I made a prediction. Yes, you did, Dad. There's some psychic in you. And it made him feel good. You know, sometimes, back in those years, we used the word psychic. I mean, it was just a father or a mother would just tell you things, and you believe them because you depended upon their skills. And sometimes there are young ones today that don't want to depend on parents' skills. They don't want to listen to the parent, get the parents' advice, because that's their way of thinking that they know better. Guess what? Ain't going to work. You learn by your mistakes. You learn by your experiences. But if you listen to your parents once in a while, you'd be surprised how much you'll learn from it. I thought I was cocky being 16 years old, 15, 14, 16, 17, 18 years old, and I thought I knew everything. I didn't know everything. But then I knew the farm. That's all I know then. But when I got out into this world, into the city, it's a whole different piece of pie that you cut yourself into. Because every piece of that pie talks about humbleness. It talks about the core of that apple that created that seed. It talked about how that apple was grown first before it was made into that pie. Or the core of the seed that made that pumpkin pie. I mean, I'm going to miss my mom's pumpkin pie. Could she make pumpkin pies and apple pies? Oh, I miss all that. Lucky for me, my wife got the recipes. If it wasn't for her to learn from my mom about her way of doing pies, that would be totally forgotten. I'll tell you right now, any of you that are listening to the show, if you have a parent or a grandparent and you have a certain cooking food that you love, and you know they only have that certain touch and taste, and listen to me, you ask them for the recipe and to show you how to do it. Because if you, at that time when it comes, when that loved one passes away, it's gone. The recipe will never be the same. It won't be. Because everything today now is all instant this and instant that. And it's all flavored. It's not the original for what your parent or grandparent had actually made. So if you want to create something with your own hands, I recommend you to get back to making connections with your parents and your grandparents, if they're still alive, and let them know that you're interested in a certain favorite food or something that they actually, or even your grandmother could be crocheting, your grandmother could have knitted. You know, I mean, this is things of the past because you don't see that anymore. If they're still doing it, you know what? Learn. Take it on. I mean, it's important. I watched my mom needlepoint. And my grandma, lucky for me, I got my grandmother's blanket. My grandmother made this blanket. Us being Métis, everybody loved to do embroidery and crocheting. And my grandmother did a lot of embroidery, and she did a blanket that had the 12 months of the year, and each month had a flower, and each month had a name, and it was all done in sections and in squares on this big, huge quilt. My grandmother made this. It took her a long time to make it, and she gave it to my mom for a wedding present, and then my mom passed it down to me. I've got that blanket. That blanket is 52 years old. It's very valuable to me, but if I took it to, for example, Antiques Roadshow, guaranteed this would be worth maybe $5,000-$10,000 because embroidery is not like it used to be. But I'm not going to give up the blanket because of $5,000-$10,000. It's just because to me there's value in my heart. That's history. There's value in my life. And that's my family. There's value in all of us. And we need to learn to be more valuable to each other. And take the time to acknowledge your family. Don't walk away from them and think that they don't know nothing. If you had an argument with your mom and dad, don't hold a grudge and keep it there forever. Because you hang on to stuff from the past for many, many years. And if your parent does pass away on you, you're going to regret what you left behind, whether it's through an argument or any kind of disagreement. Always forgive and let go. Because life is important to us. You make the best of it. There's a lot of people who are wanting to learn about fulfilling their dreams. You know, and you like to always fulfill a dream for a parent. You like to fulfill a dream for yourself. An accomplishment that you want your parent to feel proud of you. You know, every child always looks for approval from their parent or grandparent. And it's important that sometimes you may not always get the approval because some parents don't realize what they do see. But there are also parents that actually see what you're doing, and sometimes they're not going to say nothing because they're waiting for you to either say something to them or they don't know how to say, to return information back to you that they approve or that they're saying that you've done a wonderful job. I'm very fortunate that my mother and my father have always appraised me for my work. My father, you know, for himself, he has been a very, his lifestyle was different. He had a grade 2 education. He was kicked off the farm by his father at the age of 12 and had learned to work on his own. My mom was fortunate. She had a very loving family who, she finished school up to grade 10, got into this world and learned a lot of new things. And she actually did some hospice work herself when she was quite young. She worked in Brandon, Manitoba, in Canada. She worked in the North Hill, which is called the San, which is called the Sanitarium. She worked with the First Nations people because she's Métis herself, but she worked with the First Nations people, and she helped them go through the healing. This was back in the 60s, early 60s. And my mom grew up around horses. She used to ride a lot. She worked as a switchboard operator for the city in Brandon, and then she ended up owning her own company as a switchboard company. She was a great conversationalist. She talked to people a lot. My mother can talk when she wants to. And she once in a while had a bit of a potty mouth, but because she set you straight, you know. My mother was that way, you know. Don't get her upset. My mom liked being teased. I used to tease her a lot and play games and tell her jokes, and we tell jokes back and forth. She had a lot of things. And then one of her most favorite parts is being on the farm. We were dairy farmers when I was a kid, and my mom had her own cows, favorite cows. And my mother was funny. I'll tell you a story. It's you guys are going to roll off your chair in this one. My mom was, my dad and I were we milked cows, and we're calling in the cows, and some of the cows did not all come into the barn to be milked. And it's called, and it's set up as a stanchion, and the stanchion looks like a, shaped like a, where the heads fit inside, and you close a sidebar in, and the holes the head in while you're milking the cows. Anyways, our barn goes into a little bit of a dip before you go up into the barn, and it was pretty soft going in there because we had a rainfall, and so we had a lot of manure, very wet, sloppy manure that was getting full with water in that, and it was getting too mucky, even though we wore rubber boots, but still too deep. Well, I decided to put a 2x12 plank from the barn out to the, and it was about 12 feet long, and I put it out towards the ground that was dry, so you can walk down off of it like a ramp. And in the meantime, the cows are still coming in. They bypass the board, but as they're coming in, they're pooping, coming in the door, very sloppy poop, you know. So it falls on top of the board. Now, this is early hours in the morning. Now, just picture this. The hot sun bakes the top surface. Now, you think it's already clean or dry. My mother comes out, and I said to Mom, one of the cows haven't returned and hasn't come into the barn yet. So my mother steps on the ramp, and she went straight out, straight up, and straight down, face first, right into 2.5 feet of manure. Like it was all manure, like slushy manure. My mother, it was so funny watching her. Now she's trying to get her footing up to get up off the ground. She was covered in manure. Nothing but sloppy stuff. It wasn't just your simple different. Like, if those of you know what I'm talking about, it was so funny watching my mother come up off the ground and walking. Typically, you would see this in a movie. It was real. This really did happen. I kept my mouth shut. My mother was spitting out the manure. She goes into the milk house, and she showers off in the shower. She goes to the house, cleans her clothes, changes her clothes, comes back out. About a half hour later, my dad and I were killing ourselves laughing over this. Quieting down, my mom walks in the barn, and she's quietly not saying anything. Then she sees me, and I'm looking at her, and she's looking at Dad, and looks back at me, and she says, "Don't you say anything, you buggers. Don't you say a word." Well, we just blurred it out. We laughed so hard we couldn't even stand ourselves. I mean, it is so funny to talk about these things because, I mean, it's your past. It's your family. And that's the important part. It's memories. And I had a lot of fun with my family. And I've always had a lot of fun with my mom. This is what life is all about, is to make the best of all you have with your family. Don't be stubborn and walk away from everything. Don't be foolish and think that you haven't had anything fitted you the way you expect it to. Rich or poor, you have a family. I don't care if it's important to you to fulfill that dream. Remember those memories and love yourself for who you are and accept yourself as who you are. I don't care how fat or how skinny or how ugly or how whatever you are. Pick yourself apart. That's just in the genes. You can always fix those things. But you can never fix the broken heart sometimes. You can never fix... because sometimes those wounds last a long time. But you can fix the love. Because love is always eternal. And memories are always eternal. Never forget your family or who you are. It's important. I don't care where you come from. You need to learn about yourself more out there and accept yourself as who you are. It's important. Even though we haven't had any callers come in this last little while, it's, to me, I don't mind. I like talking because it helps me heal. For as often as I talk to people out there, and I know a lot of listeners, I have a lot of listeners, but what this does for me, it helps me go through my own personal healing. And also Spirit gives me information what I need to share with you, so then it helps you all understand what you need to see, because even though there are people out there who need to learn to do something for themselves, and, you know, when I tell some persons, once in a while, I'll say, you know what, you need to write a book about your life. And you write a book about your family. And everybody I've actually listened to well said to me, I'd be boring. Well, how do you know? Never be bored. Never think that your story can never be told, because your story can be told. It's important. Always tell your story. Because you learn. That's why they do movies based on true stories. That's why they do books based on true stories. There's always experience out there that no one's ever experienced yet. Or people who like to say, you know what? You had something like I did. Wow. So I'm not the only one in this world who experienced that. So life is not really boring. It's just how you see the world. And be thankful that you've got this world. Because we actually have a lot of political people out there in politics that are trying to run the world and control the media, control the public, control us for all we who we are, to say, this is what I want to see you this way, and I want to do it this way, and I want to control you. Uh-uh. Is what they think they see fit is not right. Even though your parents may have, but don't forget, you are free will. If you are breaking the law, different story. But if you're just doing free will of saying, if I want to go into a relationship, or if I want to become a politician myself, or I want to sing a song, or if you want to get involved in the health field and say, well, I'm not sure if I'm qualified, guess what? It doesn't hurt to educate. I don't care how old you are, you can educate yourself to change any career you so choose. You will find a way to become even more successful. I have changed. My life has changed so much. This last couple of years, more for me. every year is always something new, more for me. Not more as in greedy, more as in happiness. More as in saying, you know, some people say, well, if I have this house, I'll be happier. If I have a new car, I'll be happier. If I get married, I'll be happier. If I have kids, I'll be happier. If I get divorced, I'll be happier. If I die, I'll be happier. Who's happier? Means you're not. Means you're trying to find some way to escape your life. And you learn by experience, and you have to go through all of this. You can't run away from all your things, all things you need to learn. And it's important to learn about yourself. It's important to learn about the things that you can accomplish. Next Tuesday, I'm going to be talking about, hard to say what to talk about. Maybe I'm on brain freeze right now. No? Let's talk about animal totems next week. Those of you who actually have a favorite animal, I want you to call in next week when I come on, and we'll talk about animals and what they mean to you and what its purpose is to help you, give you guidance in the path that you're on. We haven't talked about this in quite a while, so it's worth your while. Anyways, folks, I'm about to leave, and I'd like to thank you all for listening in. And those of you who actually are listening in, please email me under whiteskycloud@yahoo.com. That's whiteskycloud@yahoo.com. I also have a website, whiteskycloud.com. Have a boo through, enjoy it. There's all kinds of information there even for the young. And as well, those of you who actually want to get a reading, I do have PayPal. That's on my webpage as well. So those of you who wish to call long distance or if you want to for me to do readings for you, I can do that. I also am a writer. If you're interested in my book, my book is called Spiritual Journeys with White Sky Cloud. And I do have the book on bbsradio.com on the front cover. You'll see on the front page, it's actually listed under there, so you can't miss that. They'll bring it through one of the adverts. But if you want to ask any questions, please email me, and I'd love to give you guys an answer back. Anyways, in between time, that's it for me. This is Derek White Sky Cloud signing off, and you listen to Between Two Worlds on bbsradio.com. Take care, guys. Bye.